The origin of a city lies, I think, in the fact that we are not, any of us, self-sufficient. We have all sorts of needs. Can you think of any other reason for the foundation of a city? No, I can't. In this way, then, different individuals may form associations with one person to meet one need, and with another person to meet a different need. With this variety of wants, they may collect a number of partners and allies into one place of habitation, and to this joint habitation we give the name city, don't we? Yes, we do. Does one person share with another when he does share, or does he accept a share, because he thinks it is better for him personally? Yes, he does. Right then, I said, let's construct a hypothetical city from the beginning. It is the product, apparently, of our needs. Of course. And the first and most important of those needs, if we are to exist and stay alive, is the provision of food. Unquestionably. Second comes the need for housing. And third, the need for clothing and things like that. That is right. Well then, I said, how will our city be equal to meeting these requirements? Won't it just be one farmer, plus a builder, plus a weaver? Or should we add a shoemaker as well, and anyone else who provides for physical needs? Yes, we should. So the most basic city would have to consist of 4 or 5 men. It looks like it. Well then, will a single individual do better exercising a number of skills, or will each do best concentrating on one? Concentrating on one, he replied. And another thing. It is clear, I think, that if you let the right moment for a task pass by, the task suffers. Yes, that is clear. That is because the task in hand will not wait for the person doing it to have a spare moment. So it is essential that whoever is doing it should concentrate on it and not regard it as a hobby. Yes, it is essential. It follows from this that in any enterprise more is produced, and that it is better and more easily produced, when one person does a single task which is suited to his nature, and does it at the right time, keeping himself free from other tasks. It certainly does. Then it will take more than 4 citizens, Adamantus, to provide for the needs we were talking about. The farmer, it appears, will not make himself a plough with his own hands, not if it's going to be a good plough, nor a hoe, nor any of his other farming implements. No more will the builder, who also needs a number of tools, and the same goes for the weaver and the shoemaker. True. So, carpenters and bronzesmiths and a whole lot of skilled workers of that kind will become partners in our little city and make the place quite crowded. They will. All the same, it still won't be all that large, even if we add cattlemen, shepherds and other herdsmen, so that the farmers can have oxen for ploughing, and so that builders as well as the farmers will be able to use animals for carrying materials, and so that weavers and shoemakers can have hides and wool. It certainly won't be a small city, he said, if it contains all that. That's not all, I said. It will be more or less impossible to locate the city itself in a place where it won't need imports. Quite impossible. So it will require yet more people in addition to bring it the things it needs from some other city. It will. What is more, if their agent goes empty-handed, taking nothing which meets the needs of the people from whom they are importing the things they are short of, then he will come back empty-handed, won't he? I think so. So, in their own economy, the citizens must not only provide adequately for themselves, they must also produce the right kind of goods, and in large enough quantities, for the people they need to trade with. Yes, they must. So, our city needs more farmers and more workers in other occupations. Yes, and more agents as well, presumably, the ones who are going to do all the importing and exporting. These people are merchants, aren't they? Yes, so we shall need merchants as well. definitely. And if our trade is by sea, we shall need a large number of other people as well, experts on seafaring. Yes, a large number. What about trade in the city itself? How will each group share its production with others? That, after all, was our reason for forming an association and establishing a city. Well, obviously, he said, by buying and selling. That will give rise to a marketplace and a currency, a unit of exchange for transactions. Undoubtedly. But when the farmer or member of one of the other occupations brings to market part of what he produces, he may not arrive there at the same moment as those who need to exchange goods with him. Is he going to sit around in the marketplace, taking time off from his work? Certainly not, he said. There are people who identify this need and make themselves available for this activity. In a well-run city, they tend to be the weakest physically, those who are useless for any other kind of work. They have to wait around there in the marketplace, receiving goods in exchange for money from those who have something to sell, and then again money in return for goods from all those who want to buy. So, this is the need, I said, which brings dealers into our city. Don't we call people dealers if they sit in the marketplace offering a selling and buying service, whereas those who travel round the cities we call merchants? We do. And there is still another group of people, I think, offering a service. We certainly would not want them as partners or associates for their mental attributes, but they possess physical strength suitable for manual labour. This they offer for sale, and the price they put on it they call their hire. That, I imagine, is why they in turn are called hired labourers. Isn't that right? Yes. So hired labourers, it seems, will also go to fill up our city. I think they may. Well then, Adeimantus, is our city now large enough? Is it complete? Maybe it is.